Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's time for us to get started this morning in our worship of our Lord and Savior. I would ask that you would turn to number 190 for our opening song. Would you please? And all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, as we would gather together today out of our busy lives to come together and to assemble ourselves to hear your word preached, Father, I pray that you would, your spirit would be here as well to touch our hearts and our minds to be able to hear and understand the message that you have caused to be put upon the heart of our brother. Lord, I ask that you bless Ken as he would stand before us. Lord, that he would feel thy presence and your spirit to uplift him, to give him the words that would be edifying to our souls. Father, I pray that you would bless your church and all its parts, that you bless our missionaries in the field and watch over and protect them, that you bless our loved ones in foreign lands. And Father, the many who don't have this opportunity, who are isolated or scattered, that can't meet together as often as we do, Father, I pray that your spirit would be upon them and protecting them from the world and its draw. Father, I pray for the many needs among thy people, physical and spiritual, our elderly, Lord, and our young people as they face the adversary. Lord, I ask that you bless the little one who will be administered to today, that your spirit would be upon the men who have that responsibility, that you would grant the blessings that he stands in need. Father, I am thankful that we have this opportunity to come. I'm thankful for the gift of thy Son and for the scriptures you've given to guide and direct us in our lives. Father, please bless us as a people. Please forgive us and strengthen us wherein we fail thee, and help us to see the errors of our ways, that we truly might humble ourselves and be willing to be called thy people and to do thy will, whatever it might be. So, Father, I do pray this in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we have an administration to take care of. Number 100. You'd give our brother Ken your careful and our prayerful attention as he would give us the message that the Lord has given him to give us today. And give you our brother Ken.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate your prayers this morning. Many thoughts that I feel that the Lord has given me. I guess I really feel the burden of the word of the Lord this morning. Put a mason jar. Put a little handle on it, but it's a mason jar. This jar is very durable. Has many uses. Probably drop it. Even throw it on the floor. It probably won't break. You know, my mother used these to make preserves and jams and jellies, so I know it can withstand extreme heat. You can put it in the refrigerator, the freezer, it won't break. So it's used mostly for jams and jellies. You can go to the store and you can, that's where we got this one. There was some jam in this, and we bought it in the store, and we just kept it, used it for drinking glass. But really, what do we do with a mason jar? You know, do we set it out where it's on display? Usually ends up in the pantry for weeks at a time, months until it's needed. We may put it on the shelf in our cupboard and take it out once a year or whatever. Some of the older generation will remember that. I remember my mother, she'd make the preserves, and down the basement that mason jar would go and be in a dark place in the basement until it was needed, forgotten, out of sight. or it may end up in the back of the refrigerator. But when it served its usefulness, we just throw it away. Mason jar. Something that for the most part it sits and is forgotten until it can serve a purpose. Something we don't think about very often. Something we take for granted. That gets abused. Eventually, it will crack and it will break. And after it served its purpose, we may distill it away. Or we put it on the shelf. Just in case. We may need it someday. Is Jesus Christ, is this gospel that he's given us, do we sometimes treat it like a mason jar? Put it on the shelf, in the back of the pantry, in the basement, in the back of the refrigerator, until we need it. Do we do the same with Jesus Christ? We kind of put him on a shelf until we need him. Is he someone that we think about often? Or does he not occupy much of our thoughts? Do we use him just when we need him? When we're in difficulty, when we're in trouble, when our lives are going downhill? Or we have a major problem in our life or a concern or something that we stand in need of, then we turn to him, and then when things start to go well, do we place him back on the shelf? How many times have we treated our Lord like a mason jar? Mason jar is not something that we... I don't know if it'll fit up there. It's not something that we put on the shelf where everybody can see it when we walk in the house. It's not on display. It's not something we display in our home. It's not brought up in conversation. Not, you know, if somebody comes over to the house, we don't talk about mason jars. I don't think I've ever talked to anybody about a mason jar. Is Jesus Christ the same? Is he on display in our home? Is he on a shelf that's in a prominent place? Is he talked about? We don't tell people what a wonderful mason jar we have. Do we tell people what a wonderful God we have? Do we tell people what a wonderful Savior we have? In our thoughts, in our actions, in our speech. This morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about who we are. Not the physical, not that we're here in this sanctuary, not what we look like, not what we do or don't do. But I want to talk about who we are. Our hearts and our minds, the thoughts and desires, that's who we are. We're not who we see. We're not how we appear. We are what we are inside. What we think, our desires, what we do when nobody's watching. What we think when nobody can tell. That's who we are. You know, children, little children. You know, we teach our children to honor and to respect and to obey. And many times, they only do that because their parents are watching. So they know they'll get in trouble if their parents see them do it. But as soon as they're out of sight of their parents, you know, they kind of break the rules. When we're out of sight of each other, do we sometimes kind of break the rules? We've put on Christ. what Christ sees. Not what I see, not what you see, it's what the Lord sees. That's who we are. Our thoughts, our desires, our service, our dedication. What lives inside this body that we see is who we really are. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Probably most of us could quote this. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And he answering said, and this is the Lord speaking. He answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. That's the true measure of someone who professes to serve Jesus Christ. That we love him. With our heart, with our hearts, with our souls, with our strength, and with our mind. That's who we are. And really, that determines the kind of person we are, how we love the Lord. Do we love God with all our hearts? Does he take first place? Does he consume our activities, our thoughts, our desires, the things that we want to do? Or does our mind kind of wander to those things of the world that would draw us away? Are our hearts in service to God, or are they in service to the world? You know, most of us go to work, we go to school, we shop, we do the things of the world. You know, Apostle Paul said, we're in the world. We can't help but be in the world, but we're not to be part of it. Not to be part of it. The world takes too much of our heart. With all our strength, do we use the strength that God has given us to serve him, or do we use it to pursue the things of the world? Our minds. Are they focused on God, on our Savior Jesus Christ, or are they focused on the things of the world, the things that we want to buy, the things that we want to do, the places that we want to go? Then he says, to love our neighbor as ourselves. How we treat our neighbor, what we think about our neighbor, the things that we do, our example. An example to our neighbor. You know, in Ephesians, and I'm not going to thank you, but in Ephesians, they're talking about the relationship between a husband and a wife. Paul compares it to the relationship between Christ and his church. And referring to the man, he says, you know, no man's ever hated himself. You know, we don't hate ourselves. No woman's ever hated themselves. But we do those things that would limit our bodies. So we do the same thing for other people. We do the things that would nourish. As Christ does things to nourish his body, we do things that would nourish other people. Not take away. Let's turn to Moroni chapter 10. Last page of the book of Moroni. You have come unto Christ to be perfected in him and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. Come unto Christ. That was the invitation that Moroni gave to his people, to us. Come unto Christ and be perfected in him. You know, we listened to a sermon last week by our pastor talking about perfection. Spiritual maturity is what he's talking about. We're to be mature in the Spirit, in the gospel. enjoy the present with the repentant. We have sin. If we have sin, we cannot enter heaven. So in the day of judgment, we will be perfected totally, completely, wholly in Jesus Christ. And perhaps the key to these three verses is in the next three verses. And denying yourself, not the next three verses, and denying yourself of all ungodliness. It's not something God is going to do for us. It's not something that comes easy. It's not something that comes natural. So it says the natural man is an enemy to God. All things from Adam, they're being the image of creation. The natural man is an enemy. We have to depend on the Christ to be protected. And we have to deny. God's not going to do it for us. The very thing is not going to come and serve us. The very thing is going to serve us. We deny ourselves. The conscious effort I have to involve thinking. It involves overcoming our physical appetite. It involves overcoming the world and the temptations that are there. Ungodliness. Ungodliness is not reverencing God. Thank you. just beginning to understand the building. Just beginning to understand that God requires of us to walk before Him.
Thank you.